I'd like to read from Matthew 3 today. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the desert, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around him. His food was locusts and wild honey. People came out from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of Jordan, confessing their sins, and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not think that you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I tell you that one of the stones can raise up and children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am unfit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand. He will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Let's have a prayer of dedication, if we might, for our pledge cards. Lord, I pray today that as we honor you with our ministries here, that we would be faithful and consider the sacrifices that are made by all of us to do ministry. Give us great fruit for that effort. We offer these gifts, these pledges, in the wonderful name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. I was reading this week that survey that asked the question, would Jesus be pleased today with the church if he came back? And the average negative score was 85% said no. Fascinating, is it not? And as we talk about that today, every person in here, myself included, we all have a spiritual GPS of some kind living within us. And I was going to show you one of my favorite videos today of Steve Carell in The Office show as he's following the GPS right into a pond. Has any of you ever seen that? It is a wonderful testimony of how we get addicted in our culture to certain things. And the GPS being maybe the latest of those. Even though I will tell you that I have OnStar in my car. It runs out the 29th of this month. It was free when I got the car. And I just love the lady that answers the phone. I call three or four times a day just to talk with her. No, I'm just kidding about that. But we all have mechanisms that we use that direct our path. Is that true? Even those who do not claim to have a relationship with God are directed by something. And today, I'd like to offer a few things that might demonstrate the reality of what it means to have God's Word direct our path. If you would show the slides, I'm going to give you these. Later, I'll email this to you if you're interested. There are 16 messianic prophecies that we know of that we're actually going to list 23 today. So there's actually more than 16. We know that he was born of a virgin. That was predicted. He was born of a woman. He would be cut off, if you please, and then he was of the seed of Abraham. He was of the tribe of Judah, of the house of David, born in Bethlehem, anointed by the Holy Spirit, heralded by the messenger of the Lord, would perform miracles, would cleanse the temple, would be rejected by the Jews. He would die a humiliating death. He would be rejected. He would be silent before his accusers. He would be mocked. His hands would be pierced. He would be crucified with thieves. He would be praying for his persecutors. He would be buried in a rich person's tomb. They would cast lots for his garments. He would rise from the dead. He would sit at the right hand of God the Father. The probability, if you will, of these 16 of these coming true is 1 in 10 to the 45th power, and I listed 23. There are over 300 prophecies that we know have come true. And so that is why I think the Scriptures would say only the fool has said in their heart there is no God. It is beyond our ability to comprehend the numbers involved in the statistical probability of Jesus being who he said he is and who history says he was. And of course, this time of the year, you get to turn on the Discovery Channel and find out the problems, and you get to turn on the History Channel and find out it was all a big mistake or a myth. And yet, how can you argue, if you will, with the numbers? Even if the numbers are off, they're still staggering. And so I would say that a person who is self-directed in this life, as our culture would teach us, our culture has headed us toward what I would call moral anarchy. It's not unlike in Joshua's day when the Scripture says everyone did that which is right in their own eyes. That's kind of where our culture is. And so today we're going to talk about how you and I can, first of all, live different than that, differently than that, and how Christmas and the seasons can benefit us and help us along the way. First of all, we can understand that being prepared is important. How can I be prepared? First of all, I can be prepared by accepting the message of repentance. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." Repentance. What does that mean? What does repentance mean? Repentance means a change of heart. Now, let me just offer that it doesn't necessarily mean that you grovel and you beg and you feel horrible about all the things you've done. It does mean that you turn to Christ. In fact, repentance is an action of turning to Christ, and by the very nature of turning to Christ, you're turning from other things. You see? Repentance is also relevant for you and I in our Christian journey as believers. We find ourselves doing things that Paul talks about this in Romans 6, Romans 7. We find ourselves doing things which displease God. And we find ourselves not doing the things that we want to do that would please God. That's the human condition. The old nature is present within us. Paul calls it a war within us. And one of the keys, and I hope you can hear me very carefully, because what I'm about to say can be very difficult to want to buy into. I want to prepare you for that, if you will. In Romans chapter 6, one of the ways that Paul the Apostle helps people to understand how to overcome sin is by depersonalizing it. He depersonalizes it. In fact, he says, when he fails, it's no longer I that do it, it is sin that dwells within me that does it. It is not, and he goes on, and I love this passage of Scripture where he talks about the war that's going on in us, that war that is so powerful. He finishes chapter 7 in Romans with chapter 8, verse 1 is really the conclusion. You realize that the Bible did not have chapters and verses in it, okay? We all know that. But you come to Romans 7, the concluding passage to Romans 7 should be actually Romans 8, 1. And he says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ, Jesus our Lord." Condemnation is over. There is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ. And we need to understand that. In order to overcome sin, you and I, yes, we repent, but it's not about feeling horrible. It's about feeling like we have displeased our Heavenly Father, and we want to willingly turn to Him. You know, and life is a struggle. It goes back, is that true? It goes back and forth. You know the story about the guy on the road bike who was riding. You've probably heard this. He was an incredible rider. And one day he was at an intersection. And as he got to the intersection, he turned to his right, and there was a farmer in a pickup truck. And he said to the farmer, "I can beat you to the next stoplight." and they took off racing. And the truck took off and got way ahead of this bicycle, and the next thing you know, the bicycle's gaining and shoots right past him, and the truck, he's taken off, and he goes right past him again, and the next thing you know, the bicycle's way in the distance, and it shoots right past him again, and this happens 4 or 5 times in this 1 mile stretch. They get to the stoplight, and the guy on the bicycle says, "Sir, could I unhook my bibs from your mirror? You're killing me." But that's sort of the Christian struggle, is it not? It is for me, the Christian struggle. Well, how can I be prepared? Secondly, is by proclaiming the message of forgiveness. People went out from Jerusalem and Judea and the whole region confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan, proclaiming the message of forgiveness. Resident within every human heart, born rational human being, is a God awareness. People may not call it a God awareness, but there's something missing inside the human spirit. And there's something inside the human spirit that says there must be a God. That we know, frankly, we know there are several reasons we believe there is a God. It's reasonable to believe there is a God. One is, just as the wise of old said, just the very creation, the heavens declare the glory of God. And the fact that God is so big and so massive speaks to my own accountability. And not only that, what occurred in the garden when Adam and Eve failed? When Adam and Eve failed in the garden, there in their spirit became the awareness of right and what? Wrong. You have to educate that out of people. It is in the very nature of human beings to believe there's right and wrong. It's in a person's nature. They're born with that. There's all kinds of anthropological evidence for that. There are studies, there are native groups, people groups all over the world without any understanding of the gospel that you and I proclaim, that in their very tribal ways punish right and wrong based on many of the concepts within the Ten Commandments. It has to be in the human spirit. And folks are dying to hear about forgiveness. We all mess up, and people around us mess up, and people's lives end up being filled with pain and with guilt and with trouble. And the good news is Jesus paid it all. As the song says, "All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed me white as snow." Well, thirdly, live a life that reflects the strangeness of the message. The strangeness of the message. John the Baptist lived that life. And one of the greatest testimonies that you can have about your faith and your commitment to Christ is if someone says, "Huh, that sure is strange. Why would he do that? Why would she do that?" You follow me? Not that I'm any good representation of that. I would not pretend to be. A number of years ago, I had a motorcycle. And I'm sure it was quite a sight to see these big long legs on a little motorcycle. And a missionary came to our church and needed a motorcycle, and I gave it away. And the youth group, that I was a member of the youth group, mocked me for that. And one of the best recommendations or references I've ever gotten in my life was when that youth group collectively said, "Huh, that sounds like something he would do." Wow. I was totally humbled by that. Long story short, the motorcycle never made it overseas, but the intent was there. Well, fourth is to receive the message personally. Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. The Father says to us that it is God's will that we believe. The only work that we can do, which is in fact not a work, is to believe. And throughout the Gospel of John, it's fascinating to me that the word faith never occurs. Do you find that a little strange? You would think John, who was a person of great faith, would have said something about faith in the Gospel of John. Does anybody see that as a little weird? Well, the word believe, the verbal tense of faith is there. Believe and receive are verbal tenses of the noun believe. And the word believe and receive is used interchangeably. In fact, John says, to as many as receive him, he gives the right or the prerogative to be called the children of God, even those who believe on his name. And those words are the same. And the word believe and the word receive occurs 93 times in the Gospel of John. You see, faith is a verb in the Gospel of John. Believe it, receive it personally. And lastly, live for him continually. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than me. I'm not worthy to open his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork will be in his hand. He will clear his threshing floor. Live for him continually. In the world in which we live today, there are all kinds of voices asking you and me to follow. There are all kinds of gospels in the world today, in quotes, small letters, asking for our loyalty. One of the biggest gospels in our culture today is education. We just believe that if you'll get educated, everything will be all right. And our culture says that the way to change the world is through education. Is that a true statement? So what do we have? We don't have crime on Wall Street? The most educated people in the world are some of the best crooks in the world, if you please. Is that a true statement? Yeah, you bet it is. Education doesn't solve it. What's the second gospel in our culture today? From my opinion, I'm just meddling here. I'm not preaching. I'm just meddling. I'll feel better when the service is over. You may not. Athletics. We worship at the throne of athletics. Is that true? And I can tell you what athletics got me. Two bad knees, two bad ankles, a lot of pain in my lower back, three separated shoulders. Most of my fingers at one time or another broken. And Cheryl can hear me coming down the hall by what pops and snaps. Okay? And at the end of the day, I just saw this, maybe you saw the same thing. I saw in the newspaper a world-class basketball player who made $118 million in his career and is now broke. 75% of all NFL players are in bankruptcy within 5 years of finishing their career. 75%. And it doesn't matter how much they sign for, how much money they make. 66% of all NBA players are in bankruptcy within 5 years of finishing their career. It's fascinating. And yet we worship at the altar of athletics. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Now, as we come to this very sacred time today, this holy table, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this wonderful mystery, the mystery that Christ came, he lived, he died, and he arose from the dead to offer us life. Grant that we might today prepare the way in our own lives for Him. Help us to identify the clutter, those things that get in our way. Help us to turn to You through Jesus our Lord. Amen.